Now, when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
God almighty, I'm so excited tonight, y'all. I'm totally off the script again, but I'm actually chilly. I have chills running down my spine. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be here at the one and only place in the world for me. And where is that? I am at the microphone at Blood River Radio. We're the only radio station in the United States I know of. We don't consider ourselves a radio station. We consider ourselves a white civil defense organization. And before I get into that, I'm going to tell you what the date is, the date and the time, and et cetera, et cetera. It is May the 16th, the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2020. That's where you are. You're right here with Eddie Miller. And I've got to get a few things out of the way before we have a guest tonight. He's one of the few people in this world that I respect. He is Mr. Marine Jeans himself, Gene Andrews. We're going to bring him on in just a minute. I got a couple of quick announcements to make. My name is Eddie Miller, by the way. Some people call me the bombardier. Some people call me the son of a bitch. I think I like that one better. I know Rich Hamblin said one of the guys up at Montgomery Bell. In fact, the son of a bitch, they used to call that to Vinegar Joe Stilwell, a four-star hell for leather general in the Burma Theater, World War II. So if y'all want to call me the son of a bitch, I consider it, keep it up because I consider it a compliment. Right off the bat, I would like to thank Dennis in California for his donation, his great letter. I'd like to thank him for that. And people, as you know, I got to make this super quick. Last week, we finished our third in a series of the Holocaust with the one and only Monica Schaefer. You heard her. She gave us another commercial. She's our newest co-host. Okay, now listen, people. We don't take time to plug for money. I'm going to plug for about two to three minutes tops. But we need money, and I'm going to tell you why we need it. Because we've done a lot here at Blood River Radio. I don't mind asking for it because we need it. Here's what we'd like to do. We would want to go to the University of Mississippi, and we want to do a broadcast down there and tell them to get that Confederate battle flag back down there. And, you know, we might stir up some crap down there. I don't know. But we're ready for it if we do. Maybe we can even get Keith Alexander to go down there because he graduated from law school down there. Okay, we also want to go to Little Rock Central High School in Arkansas, and we want to broadcast there. We want to get our newsletter going, which costs money. We want to get a laptop and a printer. We want to, and listen, we are dedicated. We are obligated to go to Charlottesville at the end of October and or November, whenever Dr. Hill and the League of the South is going to be up there. We want to investigate the murders in Walnut Ridge in Oklahoma of the newspaper reporter who was up there about 3 or 4 months ago looking into the Clinton shenanigans. And we also want to go to Basel, Mississippi to look into that. Her name was Jessica Chambers. She was burnt to death, 98% of her body burnt by this black drug dealer down there. And we'd like to go to Knoxville to look into the murders of Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom. But also, before we can do any of that, people, we have to pay for airtime. It costs us $350 a month for airtime. We like to pay a year in advance because it does two things. It gives us a better deal with Sam, and Sam operating on a shoestring, he's always strapped for money just like we are. So if you will, please, if we're doing good work, please send us some donations. And listen, the only way we can get it, because we've been deplatformed. We can't donate over the air anymore. We've been deplatformed. You have to send your donations. Our address is on Blood River Radio website. But I'll tell you, it's a Blood River Radio, Post Office Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee, 38184. Like I say, that address is a website. Please help us. We haven't even begun to fight. We want to take it to the streets, by God. And with that, how you doing tonight, Hellfire? Hey, well, Gene, when you get time, you need to go look at the show notes, what I wrote up for you, fella. Hellfire, Hell for Leather, Take No Prisoners, Give Them the Black Flag, Marine Officer Vietnam Gene. How you doing, my brother?
Eddie, I'm doing fine. How about yourself? That's quite an intro. I hope I can live up to it. I hope we don't put your listeners to sleep tonight, so we'll try not to anyway.
Well, I didn't get half of it. You need to go look, and you deserve it, too. You deserve it,
Gene. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. We've always enjoyed working with you, and any way we can help you out, we're certainly glad to do that. So what are we going to be discussing this evening, Professor?
Well, I'll tell you what. Yes, make sure you call me Professor. That's for sure. The Professor of – I better not say it. I got my – you know, I am – by the way, people might not know this, but – the one of those, Winston Smith, the political cesspool, said I had a professor emeritus of race relations in the South Memphis. I got it on the streets of South Memphis, running for my life to and from school. You know, yeah. I'll be in a black neighborhood then, Gene.
Yeah.
I'll say something else. I'll admit this. I had to carry a .38 special to school at times. And I slept with that .38 special on my pillow, and also a 16-gauge Sweet 16 Browning by my bedside at night. I couldn't even get on the porch at night.
But you know, anyway, of course, diversity is what makes us great. You didn't know that?
You got that right. You got that right. We yeah. I was all about that. Even back in '58, when I was going down the alleys up there running from my dark-skinned brethren. And by the way, people, I knew this was another rap trail, Gene. We'll get to what you want to talk about. In fact, we got to get to, I just now realized what my notes were reading. But listen, before we get to the big thing I know you're an expert at, people, you can get all your degrees you want to. And like I said before, the way I speak, you probably can't tell, but I got a degree. Hell, I was a BSN in nursing, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, that's, you can, like I said last week, I think, get you a master's, it's more of the same. PhD, pile higher and deeper.
Yeah.
Me, Gene, this guy we got on the radio right here can talk with any intellectual I've ever seen. But I tell you what Gene can do. Gene can also affix bayonets when he has to, by God, because he's done it. And that's why I just love that man. That's why he's one of our honorary co-hosts, and he can come on the show any damn time he wants to. But anyway, finishing up my little background, dear old mom left when I was in the second grade. Dear old dad was a hardcore, hard-drinking Pacific infantryman, hardcore alcoholic. In those days, if you were working construction worker and alcoholic was like saying Ford and cars, interchangeable. He was on the road most of the time. So I had to go in back and forth to school by myself and just called holy hell. But anyway, Gene, why don't we start tonight, if you will, with what's going on with the one and only General Nathan Bedford Forrest gravesite, my brother.
All right. Well, here's where we are right now. And I just talked to Lee Miller today that's been sort of the point man there in Memphis for it. And what they're doing, they're having to file a petition. Well, first of all, the city of Memphis was supposed to file this petition back in December, and they drug their feet and didn't do it. And then January, and they didn't do it. And finally got to February. It has to be filed with the judge. He has to sign an order. They have to have it published in a newspaper and for 30 days, and in case any of the other family members disagree with it. Well, that was going
to be... Gee, we got to go to a quick break, my brother. I'm sorry. We got to go to... I talk too much. People, be right back. We're going to get back with Gene in just a second. Hell for Weather, Gene Andrews.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Well, thank you so much, people, for hanging on. And before we go back to what we were talking about, I'm just going to plug, I'm going to plug my co-host right here one more time, Gene Andrews. And you, people, you probably heard me say this before, but I'm just so damn proud to have this man on this radio show. I mean, you're talking about quality. This guy, I'm getting chills just thinking about it. This guy's kind of like, he's kind of like me. You know, we're like the last, well, we were like baby boomers. My dad was in the Pacific World War II. I lost his religion there. I kind of lost mine, but I got it back. My dad never did get his back. With Gene, I rode to Charlottesville with Gene. He's one of the guys we rode with Rich Hamblin, Matt Goodwin, and Simon Roach. We went to Charlottesville together, and the guy, man, he was sterling there. He was acting like he was 30 years younger than he was. Gene, along with Dr. Hill, probably saved lives. They ain't no probably to it. They saved lives there. And I salute, Gene, I'm saluting you right now, my friend, even though you are a Marine. But, you know.
Well, I salute you as a medic on the battlefield. You know, the corpsman in the Marine Corps, the medic, y'all put your life on the line rescuing wounded soldiers. And, you know, the Marines had the greatest respect in the world for the Navy corpsman that would jump in there and go after a wounded Marine under fire. And y'all never hesitated, and in either in the Army or in the Marine Corps. So we have a tremendous amount of respect for you for what you men did, and it was greatly appreciated.
Well, Gene, you about know how to make the bombardier cry. So a lot of people don't know it, but I'm kind of sentimental side. Thank you so much, brother. You simply can't. Yeah, when the call comes out, I mean, man, you got to go. I mean, there's no way, there's no getting out of it. But you know. Wow, I got chills. But anyway, Gene, I didn't want to interrupt you, but I just want to tell the people what kind of caliber we got. You know what? We don't take scum on this radio show. We recruit nothing but the best. But anyway, in fact, Gene recruited us. But anyway, Gene, go back to tell us about General Forrest before I go off on another rabbit
trail. Legal shenanigans that we had to go through, or, well, not really. Illegal, you know, legal. It's legal for any time when you open a grave or have a grave moved. And so it had to go to a judge. It had to have a certain waiting period. And then he had to sign the order to have the grave opened and have the bodies removed. Well, Memphis was, like I said, supposed to get this done back in December. They drug their feet, got to January, got to February, and then they shut down all the government offices because of the corona beer virus. So, or panic, or whatever you want to call it. And so that was all shut down. Now, this was set up to have the body of General Forrest and his wife, who were both buried underneath the Forrest statue there in Forrest Park in Memphis. They were going to be reinterred at the Confederate museum, or in front of the Confederate museum there at the Sons of Confederate Veterans headquarters at Elm Springs in Columbia, Tennessee. And that was supposed to be on Saturday, the 23rd of May, the Memorial Day weekend. Well, that's not going to happen now. And they're looking now at probably sometime into October, maybe even early November, before they can get all this stuff done, get the forensic people to come in there and actually remove the bodies and get the, and we don't know what condition the caskets are in. We'll have to take care of that and have them brought from there up to Columbia and then have them buried, reburied there at the Sons of Confederate Veterans headquarters in Columbia, Tennessee. So probably mid to late October, maybe even first week in November is what we're looking at right now. But that's going to be open to the public. It's going to be quite an event to have a burial of General Forrest and his wife. And then once that's done, they're going to pour a concrete slab over it. They're going to dismantle the base to the statue that was there. It's white marble or granite, whatever, and have that brought up there. And once the bodies are put in the ground and have the concrete base poured over that, they're going to reassemble that base and do some repair work on that. And then the Sons of Confederate Veterans have gotten the equestrian statue out of Memphis, and they also have the statue of President Jefferson Davis that was down there on the river at Confederate Park in Memphis. And both of those statues are then going to be on private property, Sons of Confederate Veterans headquarters at Elm Springs in Columbia, Tennessee. So I fully feel like that's what we need to do with our monuments, get them off of government land, because when all of these statues were put up in the late 1800s, early 1900s, they were in very nice parts of town in Memphis, in Dallas, New Orleans, Baltimore. But since then, our cities have just gone to absolute hell. And they are run by liberal, democratic mayors, and they pander to the constituents, and they've just turned into, you know, animal cages, basically. And so we have to get our monuments out of there and put them on private property. So that's where we are with the Forrest Monument and the Jefferson Davis statue as of right now.
You know, people, I'd like to also point out a fact of all the things that Gene Andrews does for me and you and everybody out there of Southern white heritage. He has been instrumental all along in this process. And matter of fact, he does things up here in Columbia, Tennessee, at Emma Springs that I don't even know. Gene, would you please tell the audience the nuts and bolts of the all the organization you do, all the work you do for free with General Forrest in his old home place in
Forrest
Springs?
Boyhood home is not in Columbia. It's over at Chapel Hill, which is about 15 miles east of that. And back in 1997, the Sons of Confederate Veterans acquired the home and 49 acres around there. And so the SCV has been working constantly to get the home restored. And when I first started going down there in the early 90s, it was still owned by the state and it had just been abandoned. They had stopped the restoration project. And the house was really, really in bad shape. It had a tin roof and the tin had blown back and water was pouring in. There weren't any windows in the house. They'd all been shot out or broken out and just had plywood nailed over it. And the chinking had been washed out between the logs. You could stand and look right through it and see out the other side of the house. So it was pretty well gone. And this house was first built in 1825. So the SCV got it, completely restored the home, the barn, cleaned off the land around it, built a driveway and a parking area up there to the house. So you can go there now and see a beautiful 1820s home, two-story log home that's been restored. A lot of historical markers have been added to it because people understand that this is now on private property. So they don't mind donating money or raising money to put up monuments to Forrest, to his escort company, to Captain Freeman that served under him. And we're getting ready to put up another one dedicated to the men that served under Forrest. And the monument is going to have list all of the engagements that Forrest fought in. So they don't mind doing that because now they know it's on private property. And 10 years down the road, some screwball mayor or city council is not going to have it torn down or reinterpreted. That's what they're doing to all of our monuments now. They put up signs in front of them that are lies. And I guess they assume their constituents in the inner city are too stupid to read the monument and say what it says dedicated to the Confederate soldier or whatever's on the monument. So they have to put up other signs to go along with it, which are basically lies that these monuments were put up because of slavery or segregation. Or they keep bringing up this guy, Jimmy Crow. I'm tired of hearing about him. So, but all you got to do is go read the monument. The monument tells you why it was put up. It's very simple. But I don't understand why people, well, I understand why they can't do it, because it's political. It's just like you talk about on Blood River Radio. It's a campaign of genocide against us. And just like Simon Roach said about South Africa and what's going on over there and what happened in Rhodesia, the first thing they went after were the monuments, to destroy the history and make the people think that they have no history or no history worth celebrating. And they said, well, okay, it's just a statue. Okay, we can go along. Well, all right, we'll go along that. I still got a job and I've got a house. Then you're next. You are next.
Gene, you're absolutely right, fella. They are next. And Gene, speaking of next, we'll be right back after this next commercial break. People, you're listening to the one and only Gene.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Former Vice President Joe Biden, after again denying the claim of a former staffer that he sexually assaulted her nearly three decades ago, acknowledged for the first time the dilemma now facing potential supporters, saying, if they believe Tara Reid, they probably shouldn't vote for me. I wouldn't vote for me if I believed Tara Reid. Biden also said he didn't remember Reid, who worked for him in 1993, and said all women who are harassed should be taken seriously.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't. But look, let me get something clear. When a woman makes a claim that she has been harassed or abused, she should be taken seriously. She can come forward, share her story. She should be taken seriously.
Biden's comments came during an hour-long town hall-style event that included former Georgia State Representative Stacey Abrams, seen as a top contender to be his running mate. This is USA Radio News.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders, trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Then why not try World of Warships? You can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels and unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the ocean. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you are there. Each week, there's something new to experience, with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours on end. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American and one German. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. And remember, use the invite code BOOM, worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
Residents of the Navajo Nation will be under the strictest weekend lockdown in the United States. Grocery stores, gas stations, and other businesses will be closed, and essential workers are being told to stay at home until Monday around dawn. The Navajo Nation president made the announcement after a spike in deaths. The tribe now reports 127 deaths and 3,600 positive cases since it first began tracking. The Navajo Nation has been hit harder by the coronavirus than any other Native American reservation. JCPenney, weighed down by debt and battered by the coronavirus, has now officially filed for bankruptcy. Sales at JCPenney's have fallen annually since 2016. It currently has 860 stores, less than a quarter of its base in 2001. The Texas-based retailer, which was founded more than a century ago, employed over 90,000 full and part-time employees. It joins fellow department store chains Neiman Marcus and Sage Stores as victims of the pandemic. This is USA Radio News.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, folks, a 44 Magnum ain't nothing but a pop gun compared to my buddy Gene Andrews. Gene, I'd like to go back and ask you something. You mentioned donations. If you will, I want you to do two things. I want you to tell people the history of how that statue, the people in the South, the just destroyed South, contribute pennies and dimes to get the statues in the Gray site. And then I would like you to tell people how they can donate to this present project that you got going, Gene.
Well, most of the statues in the South, and this is the thing, that our enemies lie about us constantly, and the news media, the prostitutes and the news media jump right in there with them and carry the water for our enemies. They say, well, they were put up when the segregation laws were put in place. And, well, yeah, coincidence, but most of them were put up about 50 years after the war, and it took that long for the Southern people to come up with the money to put these statues up. The South was destroyed by the war and absolutely raped by Reconstruction, and what wasn't destroyed by the war was stolen during the 12 years of Reconstruction. So the South was just completely broken economically, and all of these monies that were collected for these statues and monuments to the soldiers, it came in nickels and dimes. There were no corporations that wrote big checks or grants or anything like that, or Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation or anything like that that put up these monuments. They were individuals across the South that just gave very small amounts. It took forever to collect the money. And so when the monuments were starting to go up in the 1880s, 90s, and early 1900s, it took that long after the war to raise the money to put these up. So that is one reason why our enemies try to tie this in with segregation laws or Jim Crow laws or all this nonsense like that. And then they say, well, they did it again in the 60s. They put up more money. Well, if you notice on a calendar, there were the 50th anniversary of the war. They tried to have some memorials put up, and the 100th anniversary. In fact, Dwight D. Eisenhower was president and said when we were coming up, his term was going to end in 1960, but he said coming up on the 1960 and the centennial celebration of the war between the states, he encouraged all the states to have some kind of recognition of that time. And that's when Georgia changed their flag from the Georgia state flag that they had then, which was actually a Confederate flag, the first national flag with the red, white, and red cross, and up in the blue canton it had the seal of the state of Georgia. And what they did then, they kept the seal of the state of Georgia, and they put the Confederate battle flag in there because most people didn't know what the first national flag was. So that was a request from President Eisenhower was the reason they did that. Segregation laws had nothing to do with it. It was a Civil War centennial or war between the states centennial, the reason they did it. So that's the reason behind a lot of these monuments being put up and the time span that it took to raise the money after the actual war or to put them up on the 100th anniversary of the war or observation of the war. So, you know, we don't get that on the news media. They're going to lie about it, and they go along with the communist groups in this country, these racist hate groups like the NAACP and like the Southern Poverty Law Center and George Soros that funds a lot of these hate groups that constantly are trying to attack us and our monuments and desecrate grave sites. And I've told these people, so many of these people, that as soon as they get rid of the Confederate flag and the Confederate monument, they're coming after you. Oh, no, it's just the flag. It's just the flag. Well, they vandalized the gravesite of President Andrew Jackson and his wife Rachel at the Hermitage right outside of Nashville. And I, in a way, I hate to say this, but I'm kind of glad they did because we've been telling them all along this was going to happen to you as soon as they got through with us. And sure enough, it did. And then, of course, they're going after George Washington and Thomas Jefferson because they were slave owners, et cetera, et cetera. And it even gets more foolish. In New Orleans, not only did they want to take down the statue of Jefferson Davis and General Beauregard and Robert E. Lee, but they wanted to get rid of the statue of Andrew Jackson. And as I remember my history, Andrew Jackson was the person that stopped the British at Chalmette, south of New Orleans, and kept them from burning down New Orleans like they'd just done to Washington, D.C. And they also want to get rid of the statue in New Orleans of Joan of Arc. Now, I didn't know she was in the Confederate Army. If she had been, she'd have been a crusty old bird. She'd have been about 250 years old. But I must have missed that in history class. I didn't know Joan of Arc was a Confederate soldier. But her guilt was she was white. And so that's what they are doing in New Orleans. They brag about they want to make New Orleans a chocolate city. And so they didn't want any kind of white reference there at all. So this is how foolish this whole thing has become. It's just you look at it and you say, you know, it can't get any worse than this. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard them come up with. And then wait a month or two and they come up with something that's even dumber than what you thought was the bottom of the barrel. So that's the country we live in. But it's something that we were told was going to happen.
Yes.
Confederate General Robert E. Lee, besides being a brilliant military man, was a prophet. And he said, if those people, referring to the Yankees, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. And
yes.
Truer words were never spoken. And that's exactly what happened. And there were some brilliant people in the Confederate government and the Confederate Army. And another one was Irish-born General Patrick Cleburne that died on the battlefield at Franklin. And he said, if we lose this war, our history will be taught by our enemies. Our children will be taught by Yankee school teachers. Our maimed and crippled veterans will be held up to ridicule and derision. And it's certainly happened, you know. And they saw it
yes.
coming. I think Stonewall Jackson at one time was talking to John Bell Hood, and he said, General Jackson, do you think you're going to live through the war? And he said, no, sir, I do not. I do not think I will live through this war. And a country run by our northern enemies, I don't think I would want to live in that country. And,
no.
Of course, Jackson died from wounds he suffered at Chancellorsville. So these people were not a bunch of Forrest Gumps or Gomer Pyles running around. They knew what was going on. They knew the crisis that we were in. They knew the price we were going to pay if we lost that war for our independence, because we were fighting against a brutal, sadistic enemy. And once our armies were defeated and laid down their arms, then we were helpless and have been helpless for the last 150 years to defend ourselves against this.
Yes, we have. By the way, this guy, he's a stranger. I've never heard of him. You may have heard of him. It's his name. I think his name is Rich. He's up around up not too far from your way, up north in Nashville. And his girlfriend is named Janice. I don't know if you've ever heard of them or not.
Fine,
but they
people,
said
outstanding people.
They said to say, they told me to say, hey to Gene. So they hello to you, Gene.
Well, let me
say something. How do they go about because I wanted to chime in on this, but Gene, how can we donate to this great project, this unbelievable project you have going, moving the forest or grave? How can we donate?
Well, that can be sent directly to the Sons of Confederate Veterans, and it's Post Office Box 59, Columbia, Tennessee, 38402. And Memphis is paying for some of it, but they're not paying for the repairs to the damage that was done to the statue. They're not paying for a lot of the work that's going to have to be done for security and parking for the reinterment ceremony, that sort of thing. I think they were saying it's about $170,000, $180,000 that a cost the SCV is going to have to incur to have this
wow.
done. So any money that they can donate to the Sons of Confederate Veterans, and just mention what you want it for, and it's Post Office Box 59, Columbia, Tennessee, 38402, and the SCV has a website, and it has that address and 800 phone number and anything like that. Any type of information you need, they will provide that information for you. And we're inviting
also people
to come. Once they set the date for this, it like I said, this burial ceremony is going to be open to the public, and I think that would be a tremendous once in a lifetime, well, once in maybe two lifetime experiences, to see the burial of a great, great Confederate general and his wife.
Yes. Also, I was going to tell the audience, if you're forgetful like I am, and you want to know the address, how to donate, you can call Blood River Radio. You can call me day or night, or you can send us an email at Eddie, my email address, Eddie@bloodriverradio.com, and I'll give you all the information. Now, we will stay in touch with Gene for any updates in how you can donate. Gene, this may be, I can see how this could get hairy, because you never know who's going to come in. Could you take volunteers to help? I guess you couldn't do it safely without having an FBI background check on these clowns. Answer that when we come back to the break, Gene. We got to go to a break. We want to answer that question when we come back. People, hold on to your seats. We're talking about the General Nathan Bedford Forrest grave removal. We'll be right back with Gene Andrews. We'll be right back.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Well, people, I think that might be my favorite song. I handpicked it myself. We catch some flack for it, but we also catch some praise for it. We have a caller on tonight, Gene. I think you might also know this fella, too. I'm not sure. His name is Mr. Buddy from Arkansas. Mr. Buddy, my man, my hero. How are you doing tonight, my brother?
I'm doing pretty good over here. Sorry I'm so far from Tennessee. And a word for my good buddy, Gene, I'm getting closer to getting back to Tennessee. But, Eddie, listen, I wanted to kind of give a little correction on something Gene said. He's not giving himself the credit. He said the SCB restored the Forest home. Let me tell you, I was over there a number of times to help him, but had Gene Andrews not led that whole project, I'm afraid that home would never have been in the condition it is now. And I encourage everyone listening to go out of their way to get to Chapel Hill and see what Gene did with that home. It is beautiful.
Well, buddy, thank you very much. I certainly appreciate it. He's been one of our strongest supporters at the Forest Home and has done so much to help us, and a lot of people have. I can't take any credit for that. We had almost 30 people out there working today from about 9 o'clock this morning till almost 2 o'clock, and did a lot of just labor out there in getting things done, and we've been very fortunate to have people that have a lot of talent in painting, woodworking, restoring that home, clearing the grounds. They're working on a rock wall down in front by the gate today, just got most of that finished up. So we have had a tremendous amount of help, and usually what I try to do is stay out of the way and not run over somebody, although I made a mistake today and backed into somebody's truck. So I'm going to be – that's where my stimulus check is going to go to do the repair of nailing their truck today. So anyway, but – thank you very much for all your help.
What I would like to say again, when I lived in Tennessee, I was over there a number of times to help Gene. And so many times I would be there, and Gene would be the only one there working. And I've never seen any more dedication to a project, and a worthwhile project, than what Gene did. And I want to give him his thanks and just let the whole country know what he has done to put that home in the beautiful shape that it is today. Now, I'm going to hang up and listen to the rest of the program, and thanks for having me on.
God bless you, Mr. Buddy. You help so many people, including myself. As a matter of fact, I'll throw this in. Last September, when we were sucking the wind, Mr. Buddy's donation bought us another quarter of airtime. That's how close we run it to the vest sometimes here, people. But Mr. Gene, we had two of the people that are living that I admire most in my life. I have one other person living that I put up there with them is my Uncle McKinley, my dad's youngest brother. I love my dad, and you know, I'm not the worst thing there was, but my Uncle McKinley was a better man than me and my dad combined. And my dad, were he alive, he would tell you the same thing because he told me. Gene, I'm dying to ask you this question. You mentioned a guy named Captain Freeman. Tell us a little bit about Captain Freeman that served with the great general.
Captain Samuel Freeman was a professor at Cumberland University before the war. And he joined with Forrest, and he was Forrest's first chief of artillery. And Forrest and his men were coming up the Lewisburg Pike, headed into Franklin in April of 1863. And, of course, the big battle of Franklin was November of 1864, but this was almost a year before that. And they were probing the lines around Nashville and Franklin for the federal enemy. And just by chance, a federal cavalry unit was coming over from Murfreesboro and ran into the middle of Forrest Column where the artillery was. And Captain Freeman was trying to get the guns unlimbered and wheel them into action. And one of the cannons rolled over his leg and broke his foot. Well, two or three of the guns were captured, and the firing and shooting that was going on, Forrest heard this and turned around and was coming back with some of the other soldiers to try to rescue their artillery. And the federal soldiers heard the Forrest cavalry coming after them. They knew they were going to get caught in a vise if they didn't get out of there. So they ordered the prisoners to run. And Captain Freeman couldn't run. His foot was broken. And so they cocked a pistol and shot him right through the face and killed him right there on the Lewisburg Pike. Right outside of Franklin. And Forrest got there, and they got their artillery back and drove the federal cavalry away. And Forrest openly wept at the sight of Captain Freeman laying on the ground and where he'd been shot through the face. And he said, a brave man, none braver, none braver. And it was very emotional. And so that's why we have a monument. Riley Gunter and the SCV camp down at Savannah put up a marker there at the Forest Home telling this story about what happened to Captain Freeman. And we had a dedication ceremony for that marker. Once again, it's on the grounds of the Forest Home, so it's on private property. So we know that marker is going to stay there. So that was Captain Freeman. Like I said, Forrest's first chief of artillery is artillery commander during the war.
You know, Gene, I have so many things I'd like to ask you because you are a rolling dictionary. Matter of fact, we have a fella. He's a Yankee. I always say he was a Confederate captured behind Yankee lines. He said that you are a national treasure.
He had the misfortune of being born behind enemy lines. We have a lot of supporters in the North. We really do. So you can't
yes, we do.
Everybody in the North as being anti-Confederate or anti-Southern. Or I think that a lot of them are waking up to maybe use the title of Donnie and Ronnie Kennedy's book, The South Was Right, and maybe they're realizing the South was right. And I think it's really come to hit them in the face with all
yes.
these governors and mayors and all these little dictators that are dictating policy during this pandemic thing. And they're seeing that, you know, maybe the South was right after all. We don't need a really strong central government to dictate every facet of our life. That we have to take some responsibility on our own and not have the government tell us every move to make from sunup to sundown. So I think
Absolutely.
There are a lot of people in the North that are waking up to this. And like I said, maybe they realize the South was right in what they were trying to do.
Yes, sir. And, you know, Gene, like I've told my friend we're talking about, and next time I see you in private, I'll tell you who he is. But like I was telling him, the South didn't just lose at the end of that war, that Lincoln's war. We all lost. Everybody. American in the United States lost. Well, you know, that's why, Gene, you just mentioned this out-of-control central government. That's why we have it today, because the South is defeated. Is that right, Gene?
Absolutely. And they say, well, and I had some old gal in Kroger harassing me one time about my Confederate flag mask that I wear. But anyway, she was saying, you lost, you lost, you lost. And I said, no, we all lost on that war. We went from a constitutional republic to a socialist empire, and it's only gotten worse. Yep. We were lied into a war in 1861. We got lied into a war in 1898 so we could take Spain's colonies away from us. We were lied into a war in 1917, the Great War, to bail out the Rothschilds, bankers. Roosevelt lied us into a war in 1941. We wanted to push Japan into a corner and did everything he could. Well, he did. First of all, he did everything he could to get a war started with Germany, and they wouldn't take the bait. So then he turned around and got Japan to fire the first shot, and in the isolationist movement in this country, so he'd get a war with Germany through Japan and save his communist buddies. The Gulf of Tonkin resolution was a lie, got us into Vietnam. We got lied into a war in Iraq because of weapons of mass destruction that never existed. And so the start of all this was Lincoln's election and the lie that brought us into that war and the expansion of the central government. And it's only gotten worse down through the decades. And that's where it started.
Yes, it is. Gene, we're coming up on the end of the hour. I have 100 questions I'd like to ask you, but I'll make a quick comment. I'm going to ask you if you have anything else to say. You know, I said last week, I believe it was, that Lincoln said that of the two forces he were fighting, he said he had the Jew bankers behind him and he had the rebel army in front of him. He said the Jew bankers were the most dangerous. What do you say about that, Gene?
Well, the follow the money trail. You know, look at what Soros has done. And his real name is Schwartz, George Schwartz, out of Hungary. And look at all the basically communist causes that he has financed in this country. The Bolsheviks in Russia and in Germany and all of these revolutions that took place after World War One, they were mostly Jewish. About 78% of the Bolsheviks were Jewish. And it's, you know, look at history and what these people have done, and it's not singling out the Jews themselves. It's the result of what has happened and the action that they've taken against us. You just have to look at history and see why that has happened. So, you know, they set
Gene,
they set the game table.
Before we go, we're just about out of time, but I'd just like to make a remark. I'm going to use one of your quotes I heard at Charlottesville. You talked about the government turning the feral animals loose on us. We have the feral animals here in Tennessee and Memphis that have attacked these statues, but the people that break my heart are these white arrowheads, millennials that hate us worse than the blacks do. People, that's it. We had the one and great, one and only great Gene Andrews on tonight, and I'm asking him right now to please plan to come on next week. Let me know if you want to come on next week, Gene. I'd love to have you back on the first hour again.
I'd be honored.
Thank you. Hey, people, you heard it. Gene is going to come on back same time next week, the 23rd, God willing. People, hang on to the next for the next hour. We got to do a pretty long break. Go get you some coffee. We'll be at just a few minutes. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Sam.